It's Matt Bubalin for Pete McMurray here on Radio 720 WGN. We've talked a lot everywhere, all over the place. I know I've done it a lot in the overnight show about MH370, the missing Malaysian Airlines flight. Today, they had a big press conference saying they feel pretty much, they feel that based on the data that they've been able to crunch from the satellites, that it had to have gone down in the South Indian Ocean. That somewhere down there is where that plane ended its flight and that everybody is dead. They have no actual physical evidence of this, so it will rage on until they for sure find that plane. But that's what the feeling is now. They texted the families to let them know that everybody died on board. We could get into a long discussion about that. But what I want to talk about right now, Dr. David Carbonell joins us on the phone. He is a psychologist here in the Chicago area. He is the anxiety coach, talking about fear of flying. If you had a fear of flying before this all happened, it's got to be a lot worse now. Thank you for being with us, Dr. Carbonell.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate it. The anxiety anxietycoach.com is your website, and I read an article that featured you in Entrepreneur Magazine. I happened to stumble upon it as I was on an airplane on Friday. The weird thing for me is I don't have a fear of flying anymore. I did as a kid, but now for work I've had to fly a decent amount in my life, and it's kind of just helped me overcome it. But oddly, since this plane went missing, I've been on a plane five times. I'm never on a plane that many times within 3 weeks, but I've been on a plane five times. For people in general who have a fear of flying, what is that about? Where does that come from for us?
Well, it's interesting when you think about fear of flying, particularly somebody who's not afraid, they might suppose that it's all about crashing. But actually, the great majority, about two-thirds of people who are chronically afraid of flying, they're much more afraid of having a panic attack on board the airplane. It's a kind of claustrophobic experience for them where they dread the sense of now I'm locked in and I can't leave until somebody lets me.
Interesting.
That's the predominant fear.
So for a lot of people, it's not necessarily I'm going to die in this. It's that I'm going to freak out on this and I don't want to do that in front of possibly 100 other people.
Exactly right. Yes. Yeah.
And so is it about overcoming the fear of flying or learning to accept it and work with it?
Much more the second one. You know, if you really boil it down, leads a person to become phobic for flying. It's the idea that they develop that I'm afraid and I must get rid of that fear before I fly again. And if you really pursue that and really regard the fear as your enemy or something you have to get rid of, that's what's going to make it harder and harder for you to fly. And so conversely, when I work with groups of people on this, what we're aiming for is to help them literally give themselves permission to be afraid, to allow themselves to feel the feelings and the various scary thoughts and so on without so much resistance, to practice allowing themselves to be afraid. And that's what causes it to dissipate.
You know, for myself personally, when I'm flying, the fear to me is thinking about how out of control the situation is for me. I know that it's much more dangerous to drive a car, but when I'm driving a car, I have some level of control over what's going to happen. In an airplane, you don't. You're just sitting in a seat. You're just a passenger, and you're hoping everything's going to turn out all right. And I know it's the same when I'm on a bus or a train, but in general, those aren't 35,000 feet in the air where if something goes wrong, it's most likely going to be, you know, life-ending. How do we control those feelings of helplessness and get over that?
Well, I think, you know, this is another through line that we have to work with people on this, that they literally need to come to accept their role as passenger. Now, if you and I were on a flight together, well, I'd much prefer having a trained pilot at the helm than either you or me. we don't want us in control of the plane. That's not a good thing. We might be able to tolerate, okay, I can drive an automobile, but aircraft, let's get somebody that knows how to fly the thing. And so what does that lead me with? What's my role as passenger? I tell people, you know what, your role as passenger, it's literally baggage that breathes. That we have people that will run the airplane, we have people that are going to take care of the ground control, and we have the baggage handlers, and everything is being taken care of. Your job is basically sit and wait. It's a waiting room in the sky. And so what do you control on the airplane? Just what you do, how you respond to that inactivity.
One thing
that's what I try and focus on.
Certainly one thing that's helped me on flight, you know, this flight I just took back from Nashville last Friday, we flew through a storm and we bounced around a decent amount. And that always brings me back to being a little scared. But the flight attendant kept walking up and down the aisle doing stuff. So I just tried to look at her and say, okay, if she was scared, then I, you know, but if she's just walking around like nothing's going on, this is very typical. And I try to control things sometimes thinking things like that. Or, you know, you talk about wanting the plane who's the expert in control. I think about, you know, when I'm worried about things, well, they've got a family too. They want to get back home. It's not like they're up there, you know, having a blast up there. They're up there working hard. And I try to think thoughts like that. Is that a smart way to do that? Or am I maybe making it worse for myself by thinking about things instead of just not thinking about those things at all?
No, I think that's reasonable because, you know, what if you do have a thought or you're anxious about something, to try and suppress it or to somehow stop thinking that really doesn't work at all. That the harder you try and tell yourself, don't think this or that, well, you're going to think about it more. It's the same as banning books. It usually just creates interest. So I think that's a reasonable response to recognize, well, the people who have the best information here, they don't seem to be as concerned as I do. And so I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling afraid. That's all right. My fear obviously doesn't have too much to do with actual danger because the flight attendants are walking up and down handing out cans of soda.
We're speaking with We're speaking with Dr. David Carbonell. He's the anxiety coach. AnxietyCoach.com is his website. If you have a question about a fear of flying or fear of anything else, maybe you have a fear right now of getting on an L train because it might go up an escalator. 312-981-7200 or text us at 24720. When we come back, I want to ask Dr. Carbonell, if we do find out that one of the pilots on this Malaysian Airlines flight, this was a suicide, say, if we do find that out, how is that going to affect people who fly? Because there's the one thing we can hold on to. Here's this trained pilot, this person we can trust everything on. This would be unprecedented. I don't remember anything like this happening. If it turns out to be that, how would that affect people and their fears? Give us a call, 312-981-7200. Matt Bubal in for Pete McMurray on Radio 720 WGN. It might seem crazy what I'm about to say. Sunshine. I think Scott's got the cure right there for fear of flying. You just got to be happy. You just got to think happy thoughts, happy thoughts, happy thoughts. It's Matt Bubal in for Pete McMurray here on Radio 720 WGN. We're speaking with Dr. David Carbonell, the anxiety coach, anxietycoach.com, talking about fears of flying and trying to control that and be better about it. Dr. Carbonell, we were talking as we went into the break about the idea that if it comes out or if they're ever able to figure out what happened here with this Malaysian Airlines flight, if it was pilot suicide, how do you think that will affect people who have a fear of flying? Because there's another reason to start being scared about something like that.
Well, that would certainly be unsettling. But we have seen that happen before. We did live through that with the Egypt Air crash a number of years ago. And it's interesting that the day that happened, I remember walking out of my house that morning and then the newspaper was on the front porch with that headline. I had a fearful flying group ready to go on a flight that day, our graduation class. And I looked at the headline and I thought, well, I'm going to go to the airport and nobody will be there. And you know what? They were all there and we all went on the flight together. I think it would be a terrible thing to learn that, but it's terrible any time that there's a crash.
Yeah.
It doesn't really change the bottom line, which is that flying for almost anybody is a far safer activity than dozens and hundreds of things they do every single day.
Talk to me a little bit about the classes that, because you just mentioned that as a graduation, you go on a flight. So when you get a group, when a group of people are together to overcome a fear of flying, walk me through a little bit of what you do with them.
Well, I'll teach them. I'm going to teach them a couple of things, some of them for the anticipation that people experience in the days, weeks, months, maybe, once they've determined they're going to have a trip or they've booked the flight, some techniques to help them. Let some of the steam out of the anticipatory worry, because that's a big part. They're always what-ifing and then thinking about it ahead of time. And then I want to show them some techniques to use while they're on board the aircraft for the strong physical fears, particularly, that they'll experience there. Some of this is fairly traditional breathing and relaxation techniques that people can use on the airplane. But one big important part is over the weekend we developed, each person individually develops an inventory of all the different kind of ways they think they usually experience the fear. Their heart races, they grab the armrest, they monitor the faces of the crew ahead of time, they watch the Weather Channel for several weeks. All the stuff people do trying to control the fear, but you know, when they do these things, they generally make themselves feel worse. And so I'm going to have them develop an inventory of that, and they're literally going to keep simple count, keep track of how many times they experience each of those symptoms, and just let it be there rather than try and suppress it. And it's remarkable what a difference that makes as people take this flight. They allow themselves to be afraid. Oops, I just grabbed the armrest again. Check. So rather than try and suppress it, they go with it, and that's what makes all the difference.
But how long are the classes? How long do you go through it before they get on this graduation flight?
It's a weekend. We'll have a meeting on a Friday night for about 2 hours, and then we'll have an eight-hour day together on Saturday, work 9 to 5. We may have 1 or 2 hours Sunday morning, and then we go to the airport and fly.
And do you get on a commercial flight? Because if you're like, oh, we're going to go in this little propeller plane, that's right. I'd be like, nope, that's not going to work. Not going to do that one.
Yeah, no, interesting. We do go on a commercial jet on a 737.
Okay.
Fly on a regularly scheduled flight to a city about an hour away. So it's usually Detroit, Kansas City, St. Louis, something like that. But interestingly, people who are claustrophobic, people who are really concerned with control, if they could go on a small plane where they knew the pilot, where they could lean into the cockpit and say, you know what, I think I'd like to cut this short, let's get down, they would be better able to do that than on a big commercial jet where it feels like a cattle call to them.
See, what's interesting, though, is like, you know, the flights to Kansas City and you know, I take that flight every now and then on United. That's a pretty small plane. That's usually a 2 seats on one side, 1 seat on the other, where if you've got any decent height, you're kind of ducking your head down as you're walking down the aisle. Those are the flights I feel like you're feeling every bump. You're feeling the takeoff. You're feeling the landing. Those ones make me more nervous for whatever reason. I'm sure there's no reason to be, but just because you feel the flight a little more.
Yes, yes, that you feel discomfort. And you can't help it. You react as if that's a sign of danger. So it's interesting you bring up that point. I don't take those flights for the group. We normally would fly on Southwest, which uses a full-size 737.
Yeah, for all their flights.
So it's a bigger flight. It's a bigger plane.
I have a texter who said from 773, I developed my fear once I had kids, and it keeps getting worse. I think it's because I'm afraid of leaving them if something should happen to me. I've tried many therapies, but nothing has worked. A lot of, you know, that's interesting because it's not so much a fear of flying. It's a fear of if something happens, I'm leaving these people behind and doing things like that. Do a lot of our fears relate not necessarily to the flying, but like you said, the freaking out in front of people or other things in our lives? Or is that just how we're manifesting them?
No, I would say, you know, most of the time it's about those feelings of losing control, you know, when my family depends on me, or maybe I'm going through some period of instability at work and I'm worried about losing my job. It usually has to do with feeling like it's terribly important to grab the reins and control all of these feelings. And that's what gets people into trouble. So that's a prime time. Someone having, you know, first starting to raise a family and having a couple of young children, naturally starts thinking about their own mortality in ways that they didn't when they were dating. And they could be more carefree. And then they recognize that would be a terrible thing if I were to die early and leave my young children behind. But of course, it would be just as terrible if you died in some other manner. And yet they only start worrying about flying because flying is where it's so obvious to them, I'm not in charge.
We're speaking with Dr. Dave Carbonell. AnxietyCoach.com is his website. And you deal with a bunch of different fears and phobias on the website, and you coach people with a lot of these. Do those of us that fear flying tend to fear other things? Is it a general? Are we generally the more anxious people, and so we have these fears, or do we have very specific fears, and everybody's different in that way?
It's usually pretty specific. People who are afraid of flying, probably the most common add-on there would be. Many of them are also not feeling so good about elevators for some of the same reasons that they're concerned about who's running this thing and what if something goes wrong and I can't get out and so on and so forth. But generally that's about the extent of it, whereas someone, say, with panic disorder might be afraid of much more variety of things, crowded movie theaters, divided highways, tall buildings, being in a crowd, getting a haircut because you can't leave with your hair half cut, anything that might cause you to have to stay. So there you see much more variety.
I'll bet. And fear of public speaking, I imagine, still a big one as well?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, believed to be the most common of all the fears.
Yeah, isn't
public
it?
Speaking, although, you know, not most common in terms of who comes to get help. Many people just figure, I'll never do that. But that's probably the most common fear of all.
And I imagine those people just avoid it. Maybe that holds them back in career and in life, right?
Yeah, it's amazing sometimes to hear people's stories how they literally picked college majors and careers that wouldn't ever expose them to, you know, public speaking. Mm. That for a lot of people, that was the single influence that led them to pick a major and a career and really dominated all their main decisions in life.
Amazing. Dr. Dave Carbonell, anxietycoach.com. He also has a book, The Panic Attacks Workbook. You can find out more about that at anxietycoach.com. Dr. Carbonell, thank you so much for being with us tonight. We really appreciate it.
Oh, good. It was my pleasure. I hope that was helpful.
Absolutely. Dave Carbonell, anxietycoach.com. Matt Bubala in for Pete McMurray, 720 WGN.